This is The Deep Dive with Brooks Spector.
And I am back. I am live. I am not an AI creation. It is Brooks Spector. And we are giving you the program, The Deep Dive. But before we continue with our discussions, discover the delightful symphony flavors at Friends Bakery in Sandringham every Friday. Indulge in fresh baked flavor challahs such as za'atar homemade and classic loaves, all perfect for Shabbat. Try the V Friends Bakery new pretzel challah. You'll be a fan for life. So it says. For a limited time, enjoy free taster samples when you purchase your challah. Place your order easily via WhatsApp at 076-108-0085 and taste the difference that has everyone's taste buds buzzing. Visit Friends Bakery in Sandringham today and treat your taste buds to something extraordinary. And we're going to continue momentarily with our conversations as soon as he joins our program connections with Mr. Plumelo Abba, a young political analyst out of the Free State, University of the Free State graduate. And we're going to talk about a couple of things, I hope. We're going to talk about the nature of coalition governments. You heard us talking with Helen Zille about that briefly, but also the distinction, perhaps, in the demographics between older established voters and younger voters. South Africa is a young country, and its voting population, assuming they register and vote, will represent that. And we want to have some idea of how that's going to affect the upcoming local and provincial elections. Craig, how are we coming on our connection? We're not there yet. I should keep going. Okay. While we're waiting for our connection, let me simply mention a couple of cultural events which I'm going to and which I think you should pay attention to. This weekend, there are two presentations of Moving Into Dance Mopotong's production of Carmina Burana. That's at the University of Johannesburg Arts Center on Friday night and Saturday evening. And Carmina Burana, of course, is the music that was written by German composer Karl Orff and has become a standard for choral and orchestral performances around the world. It draws on early Latin and early German texts that were discovered 100 some years ago, perhaps, but were fashioned into this extraordinary narrative. And Moving Into Dance Mopotong has a long track record in this country of doing important work, training younger dancers, and then delivering on the promise of and the creation of what became known as Afrofusion modern dance. So if you have time, if you have an inclination, put that in your calendar. And the second thing that I'm going to go to is a concert performance of the Felix Mendelssohn Bartholdy oratorio, Elijah. Elijah, of course, draws on the biblical texts in Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings on the prophet Elijah. And it is one of the great masterworks of choral music. Mendelssohn, of course, was a composer in the 1830s and 40s, and who was largely responsible for bringing Johann Sebastian Bach back into prominence. And his work reflects some of that, although it is often very tuneful and joyful and melodic and, you know, almost you can sing along to it. That is at education faculty of the University of Johannesburg, and that is on Sunday at 3 o'clock, and we're going to be going there as well. I believe there are still, and we have our guests, there are still some tickets left, and if you can get to that, you should go. And now, right on 9:30, we have our guest, Plumelo Abba, and welcome to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Brooke, and to viewers, and thank you very much for having me.
Okay, we don't have too many viewers because it's radio, but I see you and you see me, and that works out just fine. I have to caution people a little bit on radio that although it's just voices, it really, really helps me when I see the other person, unless I know them very well, because then I can read their face when I ask a question and they frown deeply or they look perplexed or they scowl at me. Then I know I've either struck home or I better rephrase what I just asked. Tumelo is a graduate of the University of Free State. I believe he's still employed there within the university structures, but he's a younger, and I say that advisedly because I'm not quite sure where younger ends anymore, a political analyst and all manner of things, facilitator of events and motivational speaker too, I gather. But what I want to talk to you about, since we're now entering that conflicted time of elections, local and provincial, and I'm trying to start a series on this program, interviewing candidates as they are officially declared or nominated, especially for the position of mayor of Johannesburg. We just finished an interview with Helen Zilla, and there will be more of them coming up. But I want to pair these with interviews with analysts and those who think about the nature of the elections and the nature of the electorate and what's important to them versus what's not. And I'm going to pose to you two questions for you to sort of answer simultaneously, in effect. If you're an older person, when you think about an election, you tend to think of what in America are called kitchen table issues. And in South African terms, that usually devolves into service delivery issues, water, sewage, electricity, repairing the streets, fixing the traffic lights, making things work, making the billing system reflect reality rather than somebody's idea of a joke. But a younger voter may not have quite the same kind of perceptions or interests. That's A. And B, you've spoken and written about the idea that coalitions are going to be the future of governance in South Africa. Can't escape it. And so what does that mean for a city like Johannesburg, in which there have been numerous really not so very effective coalitions over the last, what, 6, 7, 8 years in governance? We've had almost a baker's dozen worth of mayors in the last decade, and not so much to show for it. Welcome, and take that first question about younger versus older voters, and then if you can segue into the question of coalitions.
Amo, firstly, let me just make a disclaimer to the listeners that I am not at the University of the Free State anymore. I have since left my role there. But to be honest with you, I always try to juxtapose the electorate between those that are in the urban areas and those that are in the rural areas. You would know that in South Africa, majority of the rural areas being the Eastern Cape and Limpopo to be specific, are still governed by the ANC in its majority. Like, those are still ANC strongholds. And then if you go to the more urban areas, you will realize that the dynamics have totally shifted, in that now we have entered an era of coalitions in many of the urban areas, particularly in Gauteng, where you find that in Ekurhuleni, in Tshwane and Johannesburg, it's coalition governments, which has been the case since 2016, by the way. And you will also remember that in the wake of the 2016 local government elections, the ANC lost its majority in all three of the metros, like I alluded to just now. And I do believe that all of this can be attributed to the fact that majority of the people in the rural areas are people that are more, like, particularly in the Eastern Cape, where I think where my home is at, you will find that majority of the population that stays there is in the rural areas, firstly, and it's also elderly people that are not really alive to some of the socio-economic and socio-political realities that are facing South Africa. Yes, they are aware of things such as unemployment, they are aware of things such as inequality, but it's not things that they experience on a daily basis, and it's things that they have also come to accept. For instance, you'll find that in the Eastern Cape, it's people that have in rural areas, it's people that have had gravel roads for the longest of times. It's people that are used to actually going to fetch water, walk 2 kilometers to fetch water. Whereas if you can come to Johannesburg, that's something that is not normal at all. Like, I mean, having potholes on its own is regarded as a social ill by a citizen of Johannesburg. Not having water, which is currently an issue that is engulfing the city of Johannesburg, is something that is very foreign to the citizens of Johannesburg. And also, if you look at the population, you will realize that majority of the people that stay in Johannesburg, particularly in the urban areas, are people that are your young professionals, as well as the middle class, both black and white. So it's people that are obviously exposed to paying rates and taxes, and people who expect to get value for money for what they pay in the municipality. So I think that if you look at it from that perspective, between young and old, you will find that the younger population or voters, the younger electorate, South Africa's younger electorate resides more in the urban areas, as opposed to one that is in the rural area that is much more elderly, and like I said, not as exposed to the socioeconomic realities and disparities as those ones that are staying in the urban areas. So I think that's where you can actually you can actually make juxtapose between younger voters as well as the elderly voters within our country.
Now, more narrowly focus this down to the way in which an election. Yeah, I think we're Humelo, can you move around a little bit? Your connection is not so good anymore. Are you still there?
Yes.
Mm-mm. We've lost you. You froze. No, there we are. Okay, are you still there? Try to wiggle your computer somehow so the word connection is better. Take your distinction that you've made,
Just trying my
rural
best
versus urban,
also.
and put it in the context of Johannesburg, which is preeminently an urban area. See what let's break it down in terms of how age groups or income level groups will view the election and how they will view the choices. But we're going to take an ad break, if you don't mind. Stay with us. Don't go away. We have to do it. Otherwise, ICASA gets very, very upset and the sponsors get even more upset. And we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Deep Dive with Brooks Spector.
And we are live and we are back, and it is the Deep Dive, and I am Brooks Spector. Okay, I am indeed live, and we are the Deep Dive, and I am your host, Brooks Spector, and we're speaking with Umelo Gaba, who I apologize is not with the University of Free State anymore, a freelance man, doing all kinds of things. And we were talking about the changes in the electorate, and we're looking at Johannesburg in particular, given the upcoming elections, some months away, and eventually all of our news will be consumed by this. Bring us through the distinctions in demographic terms and your something you've written about, which is the idea that necessarily, given the nature of the politics here, coalition government's going to be the way forward, and that poses real challenges in effectiveness and efficiency, and leaders who can manage that unwieldy process will succeed, and those that are caught in the waves of it will not.
Well, one thing that we need to appreciate about our politics in South Africa is that we are very diverse, and that it's not a homogeneous group of people, in that you would realize that now more than ever, we are really actually, I usually say that we are actually regressing. The quality of our politics is actually regressing than it is progressing, in the sense that you'll find that we are exactly where we were even In the wake of 1994, and even just before that, whereby now people are actually mobilizing along demographic lines, such as racial lines, even tribal lines for that matter. Like, for instance, you'll realize that there's a party for a certain interest group or a party for certain people in South Africa. So that's what I mean by saying that our politics have now actually, in a way, regressed, in that we are not home, we've become more homo. More less homogeneous than we could have ever imagined currently. And that actually poses quite a challenge, given the fact that we're in an era of coalition politics now, whereby you find people not even identifying. You find that people who don't have mutual you don't have mutual interests insofar as ideology is concerned, don't really actually want to work with other people. For instance, you'll find that the EFF and the DA always say that they can never work with each other. And one of the things that I alluded in the article that you are actually referring to now is that political parties need to find a common ground, particularly when it comes to local government elections, whereby you can actually identify certain challenges or things of mutual interest that you can really work on. Because at the end of the day, it's citizens that actually have that, it's citizens that end up bearing the brunt of politicians or political parties that refuse to work with each other, and also kind of become reluctant in terms of delivering services and not actually doing things optimally. So I do believe that in this era of political of coalitions
Well,
that we're in,
yeah, I mean, one of the
yes.
features of politics globally, I think, gets a lot of attention is the question of identitarian politics, that is, the politics of identity and people rather naturally going to that place that they feel is comprising people like them, whether it's racial or ethnic or religious or some other characteristic. It almost doesn't matter. There are variations in it. If I hear you correctly, you're saying that this country is following the same kind of pattern in large measure, and that will affect the way in which people vote, which will in turn create the landscape that necessarily requires coalitions, which means that any governing process is going to require bridging those gaps. Is that a fair summary of your thought?
No, that's correct, because I'll take you back to last year's electoral outcome, whereby, like we know, the ANC lost its majority for the first time, but still is a prominent figure within the governing higher echelons of government in the country, or leading figure rather within the government of this country, nationally and even provincially and locally. So you will realize that following last year's outcome, like I did mention, that there were certain parties who were very reluctant to go into a coalition with one another. For instance, you'll know that the EFF always makes a claim that they cannot work, they cannot be in a coalition that comprises of the DA and the Freedom Front Plus, which is mainly fundamental, which is main that stance is mainly underpinned by the fact that the EFF, if you can look at the ideologies and the posture of the EFF and that of the DA and the Freedom Front Plus, you realize that they are total opposites. So what does this tell us then? It tells us that the politics, or rather, let me just say, the political landscape of our country has not really progressed insofar as ensuring that people can actually view each perceive each other beyond ideological lines, but actually agree on each other on fundamental issues that are affecting the general citizenry, which is what I believe even in the future is going to affect us as a country, given the fact that currently we are moving backwards more than we have been progressing insofar as perceiving one another beyond ideological lines. Even if you
Yeah,
can look
to
at the
some
support
extent, though,
bases.
those kitchen table or service delivery issues transcend identitarian questions. The traffic lights do not differentiate between races or ethnicities.
Yes, that's correct. I actually mentioned this in the wake of the in well leading up to the
We're having a little
2024 local
difficulty
government.
in reception. Humela, can you try to wiggle your antenna there a bit?
This is the Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
Live radio is such a challenge for people sometimes when you have three different places all talking together. This is The Deep Dive. I'm Brooke Spector, your host, and we are finishing our conversation now with Lumelo Agbaje. I was posing a dilemma for him, in effect. He's been careful to explain that people still in this country are voting with their ethnic or religious or racial or ideological, perhaps, neighbors, colleagues, friends, and associates. And I said, yes, but. And the but here is that the kitchen table or service delivery issues are not primarily ethnically or identity politics issues. The traffic light knows no race. The sewage problem, where it exists, is not specifically a function of ethnicity. And the same is true of all the other ones. Where is the interconnection then between identity on the one hand and service delivery on the other? And crucially, how is this going to affect votes in the upcoming elections? I know that's an awful lot to do, and you have like 3.5, 4 minutes to do that, if you don't mind.
Well, I think that is fundamentally what I can say is flawed with the current, I would say, dispensation of our politics, where people allow ideology and worldviews to get in the way of certain bread and butter issues, as we would call them. For instance, I usually say that there's nothing ideological about about providing water to communities. There's nothing ideological about ensuring that you fix road infrastructure as well as water and sanitation infrastructure. There's also nothing ideological about ensuring that every household is gets electricity, as well as ensuring that the traffic lights work. I mean, these are things that political parties can mutually agree on, which are service delivery issues, particularly at a local government election, since we're talking about local government now. Yeah. However, I think that it goes back to what I said, that I think that is what is fundamentally flawed about everything that political parties tend to prioritize, which is their ideology as well as their worldviews, as opposed to that of agreeing, having mutual agreements in terms of service delivery issues. And it goes back to what I said initially, that at the end of the day, it's the citizenry that has to bear the brunt of political infighting within coalition governments and between political parties, because now it seems as if it actually borders on self-interest instead of people that will actually work for the people in ensuring that there are services that are delivered at a local level. I mean, for instance, the EFF and the DA do not really see eye to eye, like I did mention before, in terms of how their ideological outlook is. However, I do believe that some of the service delivery imperatives that I've just mentioned now are things that are common to both of them, although that it has always been argued that the Democratic Alliance, for instance, does not deliver services in impoverished and underprivileged areas like we have seen in Cape Town. One would argue that there should be this, one. Some are arguing that it would be the same thing even in Johannesburg should Helen Zille become the mayor. So it's such things that I believe that they can advocate for in ensuring that ideology does not transcend bread and butter issues such as the ones that I've alluded to just now.
Yeah, no, I'm when in our conversation with Helen Zille, she argued to the contrary that under the administrations in Cape Town and Western Cape, the budgets were strenuously pro-poor, and that obviously much larger shares of the spending were going to areas that quite clearly over the last 80 years or so had been unfairly treated, and there are efforts to bring areas back up to a standard which is appropriate and necessary. But it's a hard slog. It's not something you do with a finger snap or do it overnight. I'm paraphrasing what she said, but do you then, and we now really just have a minute or so left, do you see this as going to be the dividing principle in the election in this city next year, whether or not any government can deliver the services necessary to all of its citizens, or only some of them, or whether it will simply be incompetent to all of them?
Well, one thing we need to understand is that the challenges of Johannesburg are very multi-layered, in that you do not really have you've got a city that is actually very complex in how it in terms of the population as well as the demographics of it, because you have to note that Johannesburg is the capital, is the economic hub rather, or economic capital of South Africa, meaning that a lot of people move there in terms of job opportunities and a better life as well. So it also has a lot of other challenges such as service delivery shortfalls as well as the issue of hijacked buildings, for instance. So it needs someone with experience politically as well as administratively to actually ensure that everything is done accordingly. But those are things that take time, obviously. However, I do feel like with a political will, which is what I always argue, that I feel like the car, we don't really need new political parties. We just need a contingent that is going to be willing to actually deliver the services and agree on a common program of action that they can implement to ensure that services are delivered optimally and that all the challenges are ameliorated.
Okay, Luella, we have to wrap up now. I'm sorry, we have to break it off, but this is going to be the first of many conversations I suspect we're going to have as the elections campaign proceeds. I'm going to call on you again to help us figure out what in the world's going on and how it's shaping up and who's going to win and whether or not your guesses are more accurate even than mine. And we do appreciate your time this morning. I apologize to listeners for the occasional technological hiccups. That's the price we pay to try to do things this way with people in various places. But this is the Deep Dive. I'm your host, Brooke Spector. We'll be back again next week with another program. If you listened today, tell your friends, tell your relatives. They can listen again at 10 a.m. on Sunday or as a podcast going forward. Thank you, and you all have a good weekend and a safe one. And we'll be in touch with you again next Friday. Take care.